Whatever, I mean, based on all the data we have today, I would say that in first line, there's a strong rationale to use either sunitinib or Avastin plus or minus interferon. For good and intermediate patients, that's the algorithm that actually everybody presents. That's the one that Bob Figlin presented this morning. That's the one that Ron Bukowski is going to present tomorrow. Is there still a role for cytokines, high-dose IL-2? I think yes. I think for a small group of patients who has a chance to respond to this therapy, to get complete remission, I think we should continue to give these drugs. Are we going to base our decision on CA9 or other biomarkers? I don't know when it will be available. But in Europe, for example, we still give cytokines in patients with very good prognostic factors and lung metastasis alone. We have a chance to go to complete remission. Besides that, it will be probably either sunitinib or interferon plus Avastin or Avastin alone. There will be the poorest group. And I think the poorest group, so far, there are a lot of rationale to give them sirolimus in these patients, at least to start with. Even though Bob Moser has presented this morning that in his study, there was PFS benefit with sunitinib in the poorest group of patients. So it probably some people are going to continue to give sunitinib, but I think when now that Torricel is available and with a 50% improvement in overall survival, it makes sense to give them sirolimus first. So now in second line, if we start with cytokines, I mean, there is strong rationale to start with sorafenib. Interestingly, we have presented in this meeting, and another group has presented the same observation, that when you give sorafenib and sunitinib sequentially in second and third line, if you start with sorafenib and then continue with sunitinib, you have a longer duration of treatment, a longer PFS overall, than if you start with sunitinib and then followed by sorafenib. It's probably a selection bias, but my opinion, based on what we know, if we have started with cytokines, we should then give sorafenib. Now, if we start with sunitinib or Avastin, probably there is some reason to give the other drugs in second line and then keep sorafenib in third line. And then when you fail sunitinib and sorafenib, it's still the time to do clinical trials. I mean, there is a very important ongoing trials with RAD001, which is the other mTOR inhibitor from Novartis, an oral drug, which has shown quite good activity in the phase 2. This trial is ongoing, and it's certainly an important one to know if it's better to change of mechanism of action when you progress under TKI. It makes sense to change and attack the mTOR pathway, for example.
How late line do you think you can use Avastin? Second, third, fourth line therapy?
We don't know. What I know from my own experience and from some of my colleagues is that they have used, and I have used in a few patients, Avastin in third line. And you have some long stable disease, so there is probably activity. It's not proven by any study so far. People are certainly going to do that. We have drugs available. I mean, it certainly is easy to give Avastin even in third line. And if we have some stable disease, I mean, quality of life would be good and it would be used. I think it's better to use it earlier in the disease, but it's going to be used.
What about on the poor-risk patient's second-line therapy after temsirolimus and third-line?
If we are in a real poor-risk group of patients, YS had a little wider group of patients, but if we are in a real poor-risk group of patients, I mean, the median survival is quite short. So the chance you have to give second or third-line is quite low. However, I mean, it has to be tested. In the temsirolimus phase 3, in very, very few patients finally receive a second line. Maybe, first of all, because it was not available at that time. Also, they are dying quite rapidly when they progress after the drug, so we'll see.